Let me say again, thank you for being here. You've honored the Lord by coming to His house. And now let's hope and pray that we can honor Him as we look into His blessed, infallible Word. Tonight, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you. That's what every sermon needs to do. And the challenge tonight is for you to know the difference. This is so important. Listen to me. Everybody clear your mind for just a minute and let this really soak in. There's a big difference between ministering for the Lord and ministering to the Lord. We're going to look at that tonight. I know sometimes we get terribly busy and we're going through the acts of worship and we are ministering for the Lord. Probably this might be our last series of our last study in a series on the great physician who made house calls. When I was in Israel, I came down with the flu, and a physician came by the motel room, gave me a shot, gave me prescriptions, charged $10. Can you beat that? That's unheard of here in America, isn't it? A physician coming to your home to take care of you. Well, thank God, the great physician made some house calls. And we've been looking week after week after week about some homes that Jesus visited in. And one of the most famous and one of the most exciting and the one that will really give you a spiritual awakening and an education is found in Matthew chapter 26. And the lesson is very simple. Now, I hope you'll follow with me. It's going to be important that you do that because I'm going to give you, or the Holy Spirit is going to give you something tonight that you can carry home with you and you can keep it forever. And you'll be blessed if you'll digest what we're going to be talking about tonight. It is a wonderful thing to minister for the Lord. You know, someone asked me, well, what do you do? I'm a minister for the Lord. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But there's something far better. You can minister to the Lord. And we're going to see that tonight, okay? Everybody ready? Do like this, Pastor. We're ready. I got my pencil. I got my outline. I'm ready to jot down some things. So, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, very familiar story. Look at verse 6. Are you there? Now, if you don't have a Bible, you scrooge up next to someone who's got a Bible and look at these words. Verse 6, Matthew 26. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany. Now, notice where he was. He was in Bethany. In the house of Simon the leper. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But, man, there's always one of those there, isn't there? But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful story. And God, may our Holy Spirit, the sweet, sweet Spirit of God that we sung about just a moment ago, Lord, may be He in this place. I know He's here. I pray He'll fill our hearts and our minds and our souls and our very beings as we look at a very important thing tonight, and that is, Lord, to serve you in a very special way. Thank you for the privilege of being able to do that. Father, as we minister to you, Father, it is far, far above in ministering for you. Let us learn the difference, and let us, Lord, not fail to do that. Bless our Bible study. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Our key verse is verse 6. and 7 out of those verses. Now, let's let our mind run away just a little bit, okay? I told you, or I asked you to mark the word Bethany. Now, we're familiar with Bethany. Bethany is just a few miles on another ridgeline from the city of Jerusalem. I have been there. I have been in the tomb of Lazarus. Remember, Lazarus and Martha and Mary lived in Bethany. And Jesus is in Bethany again, but he's in a different household. Now, pay close attention. Let your mind run just for a moment. I believe that there was a day when maybe Martha was busy in her kitchen. I thought about that today, and she heard a voice saying, "Is anyone home? Can I come in?" I think she smiled because she was always helpful. She was always a friend to everyone, especially those maybe that lived maybe next door or down the street. She liked him. But that was not cause for her amazement. She liked everybody. Now, who is he talking about? Who is she talking about? Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Simon, who had been a leper. And this is what he said. Let your mind run. Is it true that the Master is going to come through Bethany today? And maybe they sit down and she's serving coffee or tea or Coca-Cola. I don't know. And they get in a conversation because Jesus visited in their home often. Remember? He asked that question, is it true that the Master is expected today? And I believe she said, yes, Simon. Jesus is going to be here this afternoon. And then maybe she said, Simon, what's on your mind? You seem troubled. He thought for a moment and said, Martha, you know I was a leper. And if it had not been for the Master's help, I would not have lived. Now think about that. She knew his life story. He lived there close to her, evidently. He might have been in a leprous colony, but after he was healed, he was permitted maybe to move to Bethany. Maybe he wanted to be close to Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He might have been related to them. We don't know. There are several people mentioned in the Bible by the name of Simon. Lots of them. And to differentiate between them, they always had two names. Let me just give you a few of them. There was Simon the Tanner. Remember him in Acts where Peter was at Simon the Tanner's house? There was Simon the Pharisee, Luke chapter 7. And then there was Simon the leper, Matthew 26. And there was Simon who carried the cross. Remember him? Simon of Cyrene. And then there was Simon the sorcerer. And there was Simon Peter. So there's lots of Simons in the Bible. And maybe the conversation went on and maybe he was sitting there and he was musing over the fact that he was able to be alive because the Master had healed him. And maybe he said this. Now, we're assuming a lot of stuff, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that because we're not told one way or the other. I believe he said, you know, he was the only man in my life that was ever kind to me. If people saw me on the street, they'd scream, unclean, unclean. And I'd have to run and flee, and I had to live in a cave or in a leprous colony or whatever. We don't know. And then maybe he said, now I would like to do something for him. Isn't that a good thought? He's the only one that was ever kind to me. And if he had not helped me, I would be dead. He cured me of a terrible, terrible disease. And he said, maybe he told Martha, you know, he always stays in your home here, but that's wonderful. But would you object if I had a meal for him and invited him to my house tonight? I don't think I'm far-fetched in thinking like that, am I? It could have happened that way, couldn't it? Sure it could. But I'm sure he was saying, you know, Martha, now you know, I can't even boil water, like most men would say. I can't even boil water. And would you help me? I sure would appreciate it. Because you're good at giving banquets and fixing, and you plan a wonderful meal, and I don't know anything about it. I'll pay for everything. I'll furnish my home. But I want to do something for the Master. I just want to do something for the Master because he has been so good to me. And maybe later on that afternoon, the Master came. And he came to the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus and knocked on the door, and Martha went to the door and welcomed him in. They were sitting there, and maybe she said, "Master, you remember Simon the leper?" Of course he did. Guess what? Like Jesus didn't know already. Guess what? We're going to have supper with him tonight, or dinner, or banquet. And it will mean so much to him, for he thinks he will never, listen to me, he thinks he will never be able to pay the debt he owes to you. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel that way? That you think, I'll never be able to pay the debt that I owe to the one who died for me on Calvary. I'll never be able to pay the debt I owe to the person that was so kind to me that he saved me from death. Some would say, well, you know, that's just a natural reaction, but I don't think so. A lot of people become Christians, wonderful, wonderful, praise God, get involved in a church, go to work for Christ, ministering for Christ. And we're going to see that in a little bit. But they never get around to ministering to Christ. Big, big difference. Learn this, church. It'll change your life forever. Absolutely. It'll change your life forever if you learn the difference. Now, there's much speculation regarding Simon who lived in Bethany. We've already talked about that. He might have been related to Martha and Mary Lazarus. He might have lived in a leprous colony. Once he was cleansed, he was able to come back, buy a home. We don't know. But I want you to see, first and foremost in your outline, an unsurpassable gift, an incurable disease. We want to look at that a little bit further. Now, nothing is known of the early life of Simon. He just appears on the scene. We don't know a great deal about him. We know he was a leper and he was a sinner. He needed to be healed. He needed to be saved. And he was very much appreciative of what God had done for him. We know that he opened his home. He gave a banquet. We know that he knew probably Martha and them, I'm assuming. Nothing is known about his early life, but there's many theories expressed concerning this man. Let me just ask a few of the questions or of the theories. Number one, was he the leper that knelt before the Lord in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2? We do not know. It is not named. That person is not named. Well, is it possible that he was one of the 10 who cried for mercy in Luke chapter 17? Could have been. They were not named. Could he have been an inmate at a leper's colony and had some friend or relative intercede for him? Could have been. The Scriptures do not mention how, when, or where he was cleansed. And suggestions can only be pure speculation, as I'm doing right now. We don't know a lot about him. But this fact is irrefutable. Now, I hope you'll jot this down. This man was threatened by death from leprosy until he met Jesus of Nazareth and received hope for the future and was healed. Boy, that's a fact. You can carry that to the bank. He was going to the grave had he not met Jesus Christ. Christ was the only person able to do what he needed done. That was to cure him of leprosy. Now, folks, Boy, this is getting good. It's getting foggy in right here to me. The meeting with the Lord Jesus brought new life to the sufferer. Now, I want you to apply his physical condition to our spiritual condition when we met Jesus. When I met Jesus, he was the only one that could possibly help me out of my sin. He's the only one that could help me and save me from spiritual death. He's the only one that could save me from physical death, because death to me is just a step into his presence. And someday I'll have a new body that'll never die again. This is probably one of the most important facts in the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And we hear very little of that in our modern pulpits. It's be good, be nice, smile a lot, be a friend, do alms, and everything's going to be fine. But I'm here to tell you, dear one, if you're here without Christ tonight, he is the Savior, he is the only Savior, and you'll never be saved apart from him. Amen. Jesus said that he came into the world to save sinners. Peter, in his Pentecostal sermon, said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. Paul wrote that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Now get this and apply this. Lepers could neither save themselves nor pay for their deliverance. And you know, we got millions of people on this earth that are trying to save themselves. And we got millions of people on this earth that's trying to pay for their deliverance. It will not work. Someone said that religion puts a new suit on a man. Christianity, a new man is put into the suit. How true that is. Even the greatest scientist cannot create life nor defeat death, but Jesus can. But Jesus can. So, we got a guy here, and he's about half Baptist and about half Pentecostal. His name's Simon. He had been healed of the Lord, and he wanted to do something special for Jesus. If you ever wanted to just do something special for Jesus, nobody had to ask you to. You just wanted to do something special. Not because you wanted him to do this or that, but there's a time in your life you just had an urge to do something special for Jesus or to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about for the church. I'm talking about Jesus. Can I tell you something from personal experience? The greatest blessings that's ever flooded my soul came not when I was ministering for Jesus. The greatest blessings that always flooded my soul was when I was ministering to Jesus. And again, we're going to see the difference in just a minute. Everybody ready? Do like this. Y'all still with me? It's going to get better, so wake up. I haven't got my tambourine up here, but I might have to get it. So the second thing to notice is an unending gratitude. There was an increasing debt. Simon did not become an itinerant preacher or an evangelist. It was necessary to establish a home, and after some consideration, evidently he decided to live in Bethany. And every day he reminisced. Don't you think we would if we're sitting there and no one is kind to us? Only thing they can say, leprosy, leprosy. Get away from us, get away from us. And here comes a man along who takes time to heal you. I believe every day of his life, that's what he thought about. I was just sitting there alone and helpless, no friend in the world and no cure. And there was a man came by, and I call him the Master, that took care of my problem. Do you remember when God saved you? Do you remember that day? Do you think about it often? Well, I think about it all the time. You know, you've heard this and heard this, and if I live to be 100, you're going to hear it some more. I'll guarantee you, I remember when God saved me. Just like it was yesterday. It happened on Monday afternoon, about 6:30, August the 17th, 1957, 50 years ago. Seems like it was yesterday. I know who the preacher was. I know what he preached about. I knew how long his finger was, and it was pointing right at me the whole time he was preaching. I thought he would never shut up so I could get saved. Some of you understand, don't you? I'll never forget that day. Never in a thousand lifetimes will I ever forget the day God saved me. Transformed. Someone said, well, when I got saved, I got it all. I think I got it all plus 10%. Because I have never been the same. Now, I've never been perfect, not even since I got saved. I've disappointed the Lord thousands of times. But He's never disappointed me. He's always been willing to forgive me. But I never can get over getting saved. That's all I can think about sometimes. Just riding down the road, think about it. Why in the world did God save me? Why was He so good to me and so kind to me? Why was He so gracious and so merciful? Whew. So, I hope from time to time, you will reminisce and be aware of the debt that we owe Him. Goodness. Then, how could He express to the Master all that was in His soul? You know, people that can sing well or play music can really express what's in their soul. I believe that. Preachers try to do that, but I don't think anyone can really express the gratitude in their soul. I don't think we got enough time. I don't think we got enough vocabularies to do that. How would He express the gratitude in His soul? Well, He didn't really know, so He just decided to have a banquet for the Master. Martha was going to take charge of the kitchen. Everything's going to be fine. He was anxious. Boy, evening was coming. He remembered Jesus was coming. And boy, this was going to be a meal. And then lo and behold, a woman ruins it. They thought. I believe Simon was sitting across the table from the Master. I believe he was. I believe that his eyes were shining. He looked at the Master. You know, nothing's ever recorded about the meal. Did they have beef or soup? Or that didn't mean a whole lot, but he was trying to express his love for the Master. You know, people who forget to return thanks are unworthy of commendation. You know, you can have a lot of faults. I do. Oh, I got them. Man. And you don't have to tell me what they are. I pretty well know. I got a lot of faults. And I'm sure if you'd be honest, you'd say the same thing. But there's one fault that none of us should leave here tonight with: ingratitude. Anyone can be grateful and thankful for what God's done for them. Where would I be if it wasn't for Jesus? You know, I believe the Lord enjoyed and really appreciated the reception of the home of the former leper. you know, he could have provided for that meal himself, couldn't he? Jesus could have. Remember, he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 and picked up 12 barrels, didn't he? Didn't he create the Garden of Eden and the peach and the plums and all of the vegetables of the world? And he could have had a pretty good meal. But you know, sometimes he wants us to help him so we'll grow spiritually. That's right. He owns all the silver and all the gold and all the cattle on the 1,000 hillside. He doesn't really need our help. He lets us do that so we'll be blessed and we'll grow and be like him. The Lord could have provided everything necessary to maintain the smooth operation of the dinner, couldn't he? He could have. But he allowed a man like Simon and Martha to share the responsibility of fixing the meal. Now listen to me. Here's where it gets very important. He allowed them to fix the meal. He could have prepared the meal. He could have just blinked his eye and a wonderful banquet. Everybody agree? Good health. But he has also allowed us to share the responsibility of spreading the gospel. God has chosen us. Think about that. God could have let angels do it after Jesus died for them, couldn't he? He could call millions of preachers and they could do it, but he has chosen the average Christian to share the responsibility of spreading the gospel. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I hope you'll jot this down. You can give without loving. You can't. You know that? You can give without loving. 15th to prove it. You'll get that in a minute. Just teasing now, guys. You know that. Just teasing. We pay our taxes. And we just shake our head. Well, I got my property tax, Paulding County. I like to fell out of my chair. Now, I'm going to have to give that, but I sure don't love doing it. Amen? So you can give without loving. But here's the important thing. You cannot love without giving. You can't do it. It's impossible. You cannot do it. You cannot love Jesus without giving. Very, 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 very seldom I ever speak about money in this church. I don't need to. Why? Because we have people that love Jesus. And they show that by giving. Show that by giving. Some of you know that John and Leslie, my son and daughter-in-law, moved back to Alabama, and they visited a large church, and I won't call the name. But lo and behold, they got a visit from the pastor on Tuesday night. And, of course, Leslie's looking for a church like Pleasant Grove. She's visited, well, they have, 10, 15 churches. It's a great church. But she wants a Pleasant Grove. Whether good, bad, or indifferent, I'm not bragging on our church. This is home to her. She'll never be happy unless she's home. But the pastor came by, and she was asking him some questions and wanted to know how much the buildings cost and how much they owed and the programs they had, if they had a WANA. And then finally, this was said. She said, "Well, what do you do for missions?" The pastor said, "Well, we believe that a Christian should tithe and then bring an offering, and we believe the church should tithe to missions. We should give at least 10% to missions." He said, "But," there's one of them words, "but we're not able to do that right now because we're trying to pay off a $7 million note. Now, hear me out. Buildings are fine. I love a beautiful building. But I want to ask you something. We could have built a sanctuary here at Pleasant Grove that would seat about as many people as this one will seat. And we could have built it for $7, $8, $10, $15 million. But I'm pretty comfortable tonight, aren't you? Sometimes I wonder if God is pleased with the ornate buildings that churches build when you got 50 congregations in India meeting under trees that don't even have an inside bathroom or a building to put an inside bathroom in. So my point is this. If you love Jesus, you'll give. You don't have to be reminded. Do you have to be reminded to give your family things? Of course you don't. Why? Because you love them. And it's true with the Lord Jesus. I don't have to get it. Boy, no offense, EJ. I am not a car salesman. I'm not going to get up here every Sunday and try to sell you a bill of goods. Here is the truth of the whole Bible. If you love Jesus, we'll never have to worry about offerings in this church. And our ministries will continue. And to me, building churches in the darkest parts of the world as a Christian witness is far, far more important than us having ornate structures. Amen. Amen. All right, Ronnie, if you'll give me just a few more minutes and I'll be done, okay? Okay, number five, let's hurry. I want you to turn, if you would, quickly to Acts chapter 13. I want you to see what happened. Now we're going to get to for him and to him, okay? Big difference between ministering for him and ministering to him. I feel like right now I'm ministering for him. I'm teaching the Bible. But before I go to bed, I want to minister to him. And it should be our desire every day, Lord, sometime today, not only let me and use me to minister for you, but Lord, let me minister to you. That's where the blessings are found. That's where God's gold mines are open to you. You say, well, boy, I can't wait for you to get to it. Well, here it is. Look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, notice this now. Remember that first church was rolling, wasn't it? It was rolling, wasn't it? When they start killing you for your faith, something's happening. They was turning Jerusalem upside down. In 2 days, they had probably 20,000 members in the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. In 2 days. One day, 3,000 men were saved, not counting the women and children. The next day, 5,000 saved, not counting the women and the children. So if you add the wives and the mamas and the kids, probably 20,000 people in 2 days. And the Pharisees was having a mortal conniption because they was upsetting the apple cart. In other words, this bunch meant business. This church meant business. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered. What's the next word? To. Oh, circle that word. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, I want to tell you something. All the men mentioned by Luke in these verses was ardent servants of Christ, who spent most of their time ministering within the church, teaching, preaching, instructing, guiding. Yet on this busy occasion, listen to me, they were hushed. There was a holy hush at that prayer meeting. They were listening for the voice and the direction of God. And how did they get to that point? They started ministering to the Lord. Now, what am I talking about? Their eyes were focused on the Lord. Their eyes were focused on Jesus. And they were just having an agape love feast with Jesus. They wasn't worried about this or that, or how they was going to take care of this, or how they was going to solve this problem, or how they was going to administer this food, or take care of these widows. Not at this time. They were focused on Jesus. And oh, dear brother, sister, Christ, listen. Every day, sometime during the day, get all the cares of the world out of your mind long enough to see Jesus. Just Jesus. Get all the worries, all the work, all the wonders, all of that out of your mind. And just focus on Jesus and minister to Jesus. In other words, do something to Jesus. This is what Simon was doing. Just out of the clear blue, I love him and I thank him and I want to show my gratitude and I'm going to minister to Jesus by having a dinner for him. And these guys were ministering to the Lord when God said, listen, you separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. I do not believe they would have ever got that message had they never ministered to the Lord. Everybody understand what we're saying? Do like this, EJ. You got it. Okay. Amen. During that evening, there's a woman came in. Alabaster box of ointment. And just poured it on his head. Just for no reason. He's sitting there eating. Just poured it on his head. And the disciples saw it. Oh, what a waste. What a waste. Guess who said that? Judas carried the bag. He's a treasurer. We could have sold that and given it to the poor. But this woman said, nobody's going to keep me from ministering to Jesus. I don't care what it cost. I don't care how mad they get. I don't care how much they disagree with me. I don't care if they understand or not. I'm going to minister to Jesus tonight. Evidently, she couldn't get over what Jesus had done for her. So my point to you is this. If you want to minister to Jesus, listen to this. In Matthew 25, now we're going to understand some scriptures. You say, well, you know, Jesus is not here. I don't have any alabaster. I can't pour any oil on him. I can't fix him a meal. How can I minister to him? Well, I'm fixing to show you. Jesus told us how to do it. Very simple. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, Jesus said, are you there? I hope you are. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You ready to minister to him? Here's how you do it. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Notice that word, me, 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 me. Naked, and you visited me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Me, 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 me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw thee we the hungry? When was we able to pour some ointment on your head? When was we able to fix you a meal? Now, I added that. But when did we see you hungry and we fed you? Or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee, you as a stranger and we housed you and put you up and gave you a place to sleep? or when did we see you naked and we put some clothes on you and a coat? And when Lord, did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? Now hang on. This is how you do it, folks. I'm telling you how to minister to the Lord. It'll change your life forever once you understand this. He said, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it," who? "Unto," what? "You have done it unto me." Boy, isn't that good? How do you minister to Jesus? By ministering to other people. The hungry, the sick, those in prison, those naked. That's how you do it. Because when you do that, His brethren, that's the church now, more especially the church, you're doing it unto Him. The time to minister to Christ is now. The opportunity to win souls for Jesus is now. No soul will be saved in eternity. So you want to change your life? Quit ministering as if you're doing it for Jesus. Start ministering to Jesus. So when you help others, you're ministering to Him. When did we see you, Lord, do that? When did we feed you? He said, well, when you do it to one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. That will change your life, folks. Boy, I hope you put an asterisk by that scripture in your Bible. That will change your life forever. When you do something, do it for Jesus. Do it for Jesus. Just because you love Him. If you serve in this church in any capacity, do it because you love Him. When somebody asks you to do something, do it as unto Jesus. Do it because you love Jesus and you're focused on Jesus. It'll change your whole attitude, your whole outlook, and your whole uplook. It'll change it all if you learn to minister to Jesus rather than for Jesus. Both are good, but to Jesus is far better. Thank y'all for listening. I'm sorry I went over just a little. Ronnie is here. I know he's tired. He's having a tough time during football season. Every night and every day, gone somewhere on the weekends. Ronnie, we love you, buddy. Okay, guys, would y'all receive our scholarship offering? Just like tonight, if you want to give something, give it to Jesus that He can use it to train young men. Amen? I thought sure somebody would stand up tonight and say, "Brother Quinn, wow. I never thought of that." I thought sure somebody would do that. Well, let me take the opportunity and say, wow, okay. Wow. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. You can put a coat on that, can't you, Tom? You can put a coat on that, can't you? All right. Oh, yeah. Yay, man, brother. Yeah, just like him. I knew I shouldn't have mentioned Tom's name. I knew you'd get excited. Isn't God good to us? Oh, man. Oh, my. Boy, church can be fun. You get in these words, get in the Word in a gold mine, it can be fun, man. Wonderful. Okay, let me say this. You've honored God with your presence. You've honored Him studying the Word. Now, if you have a talent, why don't you honor the Lord by joining the choir? Why don't you do that? And you say, oh, well, do what you do because you love Jesus. You do it unto Jesus. You're not doing it for me. You're doing it because you love Jesus. You know, I guess a lot of moms and dads got up this morning and they probably said, you know, I wish I could have stayed in bed another hour. But I got to go to work because I got to feed my children, right? And you went on, didn't you?